don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, guys, welcome to another Cryptoconomy Quick Read. We are finally on iTunes. Exciting news. Really jacked about this. Little minor congratulations to myself. Pat myself on the back. Ha 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 ha. So we are digging into a Lightning Network article that I found that was really awesome. And it is written by... The Cryptoconomy. Oh my, is this my article? I had no idea. That is just lovely. Well, since we have Lightning here on mainnet release, finally, I think it's time to revisit this article from February of last year that I think in the face of a lot of renewed FUD about Lightning, it will be good to go ahead and hit this topic and talk about, as my title suggests, the barely discussed incredible benefit of the Lightning Network. Because almost universally, Lightning is talked about in terms of scaling. And that is not the only great thing about Lightning. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into this article by The Cryptoconomy, myself, and we will dig into it. The barely discussed incredible benefit of the Lightning Network. When browsing discussions of the Lightning Network, I find the context is almost universally under the context of scaling. Clearly, LN, the Lightning Network, is an amazing solution to the Everest-sized problem of exponential scaling. While some focus on scaling as a linear problem in need of a rather immediate linear solution, Lightning Network is one of multiple projects trying to tackle the inevitable problem of 100x and 1000x transaction volume. Unfortunately, this means that a critical and invaluable benefit of the Lightning protocol tends to get lost in the conversation. What do the names Mt. Gox, Bitfinex, Bitter, Cripsy, BitCurex, Linode, Bitcoinica, Bitstamp, Bitcoin Savings and Trust, and Poloniex have in common? With each of these services, for various reasons, a lot of people lost a lot of Bitcoin under the control of these third parties. Scaling is all well and good, but it is certainly not the only problem that needs a solution. Due to the combination of transaction volume, wait times, and interoperability, most exchanges must keep internal records of Bitcoin accounts that are not secured by the Bitcoin blockchain. The current landscape of the Bitcoin industry, ignoring the protocol itself, is actually rather centralized. Coinbase is a very widely used service for buying Bitcoins. Every transaction within a Coinbase account, switching between wallets, and purchasing on their exchange are all done internally. We as users have to trust that the coins we hold in their service exists and is secure, but we cannot know. So what does this have to do with the Lightning Network? The number of transactions on these exchanges at times, even individually, rival what the entire Bitcoin network can handle. It wouldn't surprise me to learn of exchanges that do far more transactions internally than the entire Bitcoin network does publicly. Because of this, there's currently no viable option for securing these many separate, high-frequency, high-volume exchanges and payment services using the Bitcoin security model. This is where the Lightning Network is truly a game-changer. Redecentralizing the Bitcoin industry. The Lightning Network operates by building secure payment channels between users, services, nodes, and any other participants on the network. With these channels funded with a specified amount of bitcoins, the two participants can make a vast number of instant transactions that essentially occur, quote, off-chain, with the provable on-chain guarantee that the Bitcoins are redeemable. In addition, the channel can be left open without having to trust the service, user, or node that you're connected to. No one has the power to take or move your coins without your explicit consent. What does this mean? It means exchanges, online wallets, tumblers, investment vehicles, and any other institutions that rely on custodial control will have the ability to become a Lightning node in the place of adopting internal transactions, and can do so without sacrificing the speed or versatility of their service. For example, if I open a channel with a major exchange, say to buy Bitcoin, and another person does so to sell Bitcoin, the exchange can bridge our wallet channels without ever removing our coins from our individual controls. The exchange acts as a market facilitator without directly taking control of either user's money. Of course, this would not apply to any dollars or fiat held with the exchange. The end of customers paying for weak security? So now let us imagine the Mt. Gox scenario. The exchange gets completely compromised by some hacker. If the exchange has open channels with each user who has a wallet, the hacker cannot steal the user's coins. Yes, the hacker can be a nightmare for the exchange. And yes, it can cause serious damage on non-Lightning coins in storage. But the hacker cannot simply take the coins held in Lightning channels. The worst damage they can do to the exchange is by closing the channel to access the portion of the balance belonging to the exchange. This would likely be done without the user's consent, however. It will force them to wait for the time lock built into that channel, typically a few days. During this time, the exchange could reestablish control, or users could close their channels from their side. If the attacker tries to broadcast an old state, trying to cheat the users, then the user is able to broadcast the valid state and sweep all of the coins from the channel. Translation: if a hacker gains full control of an exchange that solely uses Lightning channels rather than the full custodianship of funds, it gives improved protection for the exchange, it makes users' funds nearly impossible to steal, and may even result in users getting unexpected refunds, and means the hacker may profit very little in magic internet booty. The normal market incentives will also highly favor using Lightning channels. Let's take Coinbase for example. CEO Brian Armstrong on multiple occasions has publicly discussed worries regarding higher fees on the Bitcoin network. Using Lightning channels not only protects their users, but also eliminates most of the fees for moving coins into and out of user wallets. Users would be able to spend any of their coins purchased from Coinbase immediately to any merchants on their network, or through nodes connected to them without any fees. Regulation? Where we're going, we don't need regulation. Another intriguing consequence of Lightning is regarding regulation. Bitcoin exchanges will still be subject to the same old regulatory compliance we all know and love, specifically because they hold fiat balances as well as Bitcoin. But much of that regulation is a consequence of the exchanger service having custodial control of customer funds. So in the age of Lightning Network, to what degree does financial regulation apply to Bitcoin payment processors, wallets, and cryptocurrency exchanges if they never actually control customers' funds? It is very possible that services that deal solely in crypto could end up being to financial regulation what torrent sites are to anti-piracy laws, a huge pain in the ass. Like torrent sites that don't distribute actual copyrighted content, cryptocurrency services using Lightning channels won't actually control or transmit other users' bitcoins. Many services may find themselves back in a new and undefined legal gray area. A network of Lightning. The Lightning network topology has been debated heavily, and there has been much conjecture about how it will actually be in practice. Will it be widely distributed, loosely decentralized, or tend toward the hub-and-spoke model? The truth is that no one knows, because the network isn't created by developers, only the code. The network will be built by millions of individual users and their choices. We will likely have some degree of each of these, dependent upon the individual user's decisions for more or less privacy. If the hub and spoke model turns out to be dominant, even this, quote, centralized model is astonishingly more decentralized than the industry that we are seeing today. It moves towards solving one of the most prevalent problems in the Bitcoin world since its inception, the third-party control of private keys. And it does so while simultaneously opening to a level of transaction scaling that's so vast we can only really begin to speculate. In my visions of the Lightning Network future, I see the hub-and-spoke topology being the short-term result of its implementation. Although as time goes on, it's likely the network will become gradually more and more decentralized. Early on in the Lightning growth, a highly connected node will have significant value by connecting users who cannot find routes to others. However, the more broadly used and connected the network becomes over time, the less necessary or useful any single highly connected node is. End game. With the adoption of segregated witness and the announcements of support progressing quickly within the Litecoin network, we may first get to see the full benefits of this technology on one of the original altcoins. With a smaller market cap and some distance from contentious Bitcoin politics, Litecoin is able to take greater risks. It may get to be the first to see this incredible innovation in action. In later articles, I'll explore how the Lightning Network can bridge channels between different blockchains, possibly allowing users to spend their Litecoin at any merchant in the world that accepts Bitcoin. But without a doubt, the Lightning Network presents both an astonishing scaling and security benefit for the cryptocurrency industry as a whole. People will always see what they choose to see when it comes to the consequences of new technology. But to speak for myself, I am pretty damn excited. And that is our article for today. Again, that was The Barely Discussed Incredible Benefit of the Lightning Network. And that was written by me. And you can find it on my Medium page at The Cryptoconomy, which is exactly the same tag as I've got on Twitter. So one thing that I wanted to address, I'm going to do probably an episode that's not a quick read pretty soon that actually addresses the Lightning Network and a lot of the fallacies against it and a bit of the FUD and some of the realistic limitations of it as well. I mean, it's not a panacea. It doesn't solve all of our problems, but it's got a lot of incredible benefits. And one thing that's so important is that it is more decentralized than the industry today. It presents a means of re-decentralizing that which has become heavily centralized because of the limitations of the blockchain system. And I think so many people fail to see that. They think they compare the Lightning Network to some utopia that they want Bitcoin to be and don't actually look at what Bitcoin is right now. Individual ownership of Bitcoin is secure and it is decentralized, but the vast majority of people in Bitcoin are not holding their own keys. And the Lightning Network has the ability to begin to change this, to put the keys back in their own hands without sacrificing the efficiency and the speed of the centralized service that they have been introduced to Bitcoin with. So you've got something like Coinbase. Coinbase onboards new users. They are hitting Bitcoin for the first time by using Coinbase. And that is the vast majority of people. They find a service, they find an exchange, a Coinbase, a fancy wallet, or whatever it is, and that's their introduction into Bitcoin. They start at centralized services. We need the option so that they start with a partial ownership of their own keys. And that's exactly what something like a Lightning wallet or a Lightning app of some sort could do. It could reintroduce people into the industry at the beginning where they hold responsibility of their keys and their money. Now, don't get me wrong, I realize most users aren't even going to want that. To some degree, most people, the average user is almost universally looking for not having the responsibility. They want someone else to secure their coins or their service or whatever it is. They just want someone else to deal with it so that they don't have to think of it. That's largely the reason so many services exist. There are plenty of things that a lot of people can do themselves that they just choose to have someone else do because they don't like the responsibility. It feels icky, it's annoying, it's weight on your shoulders. So, yes, I get it. Most people are not going to want to hold their own keys. But the Lightning Network presents a situation where if the money is in a channel, you've got shared ownership, you've got shared responsibility, which is a perfect situation for a user that does not want much responsibility. You essentially have a backup. You can trust that, let's say you're an idiot, or maybe you're not an idiot, you're just lazy, you don't want to learn about the technology. It's something that you don't want in your hands. So you poorly manage your app, you don't keep up with the valid state, the software doesn't fill in all the gaps for your lack of knowledge on the topic, and there's not quite enough fail-safes, and let's say you delete your app by accident, you lose your valid channel state because you cleared all the cache or all the data for it, and you lose your private keys, so on and so forth. Well, you can still trust the institution that you're working with or the service, let's say Coinbase, to close the valid channel state in lieu of having your signature, and then you simply have to wait the time lock length, whatever that is, couple of days, to get your Bitcoin back, but you didn't lose it because of the shared key situation in the multi-sig contract that a Lightning Network is built on. Now, of course, that being said, if you lose your keys, you are at the susceptibility of Coinbase's honesty in that situation. Because you have lost your keys, they could technically broadcast an old state, and if you were never using like one of the watchtowers or one of the other fallbacks the Lightning Network has in the case of a dispute, then you would have no other means of protecting yourself because, of course, you have no keys in the multi-sig agreement anymore. But that is that's Coinbase essentially sacrificing their own reputation. Most businesses are not going to do that if they're legitimate. They're not going to try to cheat you out of $100 to lose $1 billion market cap in an industry. They're trying to prove to their customers that they are trustworthy, not screw everybody over randomly just because they lost their keys. I mean, how many users have lost passwords to their accounts? And it's not like Coinbase tries to screw them there, which they obviously could. They could just be like, oh, you're a scammer trying to get into this account. We don't believe you. We have all this Bitcoin now. Obviously, that option exists. They could just exit scam just like any business. The Lightning Network presents a situation that improves upon that. Like if someone does try to exit scam you and you've only used a Lightning app in order to integrate with their service, well, then you don't really have anything to worry about. Like your coins might be stuck for a couple of days with like a time lock, but you're going to post the valid channel state. Your software is going to do it automatically, even if you have no idea what you're doing. If you've used a watchtower, one of these fail safes built into the Lightning Network, you're going to get your coins back. You might just have to wait. Oh dear, like you just lost your keys or you just had a whole service exit scam you and you had to wait 3 days for your Bitcoin, but you still got them? That's excellent. That's a wonderful improvement over what we have today where everybody just gets obliterated during exit scams, where everybody just gets killed when the custodial control of their funds is hacked or whatever it is. I mean, these situations are all over the place. This isn't something that's rare or bizarre. This is something that happens like every other week in the Bitcoin industry. Like this is one of the most significant problems within the industry, in my opinion. It should not be ignored, and that's why one of my biggest reasons why Lightning Network is so unbelievably exciting, because it is a change to the game theory of that interaction with custodial control institutions. And one other reason that I think the Lightning Network could be so impactful in changing that relationship with custodial control is because people don't think of it like that. It's not like somebody's trying to sell the Lightning Network as if, ooh, gain back some control over your keys. This is going to be preferable to giving all your Bitcoin to Coinbase or Poloniex or whatever. it's being sold and people are seeing its benefits specifically in spite of that aspect not being discussed at all, almost. Most know Lightning to be valuable because of instant transactions, incredibly low fees, and micropayments, and scaling Bitcoin to hundreds of millions of users in a relatively short time period, exponential scaling. But invisibly, at the exact same time, we're turning what was a custodial agreement based entirely on trust back into a trustless multi-signature agreement between you and whatever services you try to use. If you're using the Lightning Network, you finally have control over your Bitcoin again in services where that simply did not exist before. And I think that's a wonderful thing that, just as I suggest in this article, is that people are completely dismissing. Well, either dismissing or simply failing to realize the impact that this can have. Again, like I've said before, is that we got a situation where a lot of people are trying to compare it to this utopian idea of what Bitcoin could be, where everybody holds their keys, all transactions are on chain, blah, blah, blah. But that's just not what we have. It is not what the industry looks like in any way, shape, or form. The industry is terribly centralized with control of Bitcoin. The majority of Bitcoin is held with third-party services for users. That's just the way it is. And I would love any technology that can change that relationship to a trustless one. And that is what Lightning does. But I've already gone too far into this. I want to do a full episode just on the Lightning Network for this exact reason, because so many people misunderstand what's going on. And I think they fail to extrapolate some of the real consequences of this that I think are incredibly beneficial that are being missed. But regardless, don't forget to subscribe if you want to hear that episode on the Lightning Network and you want to hear me blab for a lot longer about how awesome it is and what it could mean for the future. And that is at The Crypto Economy on both Twitter and Medium. And don't forget to subscribe and like and do all those things that podcasts love to have done on iTunes, because we are now there, and that's The Crypto Economy Podcast. But until then, this will end today's Crypto Economy Quick Read, and I will catch you guys next time. Take it easy.